So here we are at our final session. Of course, there's much more that needs to be said about karma, but another time, so we have to carry on in the future. So whenever you go to a course or a retreat, you're only basically getting the tip of the iceberg. Underneath, there's a whole lot more to learn and to think about. So you want to be able to take what you've learned here, both in terms of your meditation practice and in terms of your conceptual understanding and your study, to take these home with you and increase them, and maintain them and increase them. Okay? So that it's good to come to a weekend event like this, and you create a lot of merit. To really keep your practice going, you have to do something consistently. So I really advise as good as possible for you to have a daily meditation practice. Or if you don't meditate daily, at least read something from a Dharma book and think about it daily. In other words, put the Dharma into your heart and into your mind every day. You feed your body, you nourish your body every day. We don't forget to eat food, and you don't stop eating because you're too busy. So likewise, we should nourish our mind, nourish our heart through our Dharma practice, and not get so busy that we forget to, or we don't have time to. So this is just some advice. And as everything in the Buddhist path, it's a recommendation. And it's up to you to follow or not. Okay. I'm not ordering you to do so. I'm good. That might not be a bad idea. But if I ordered you, you probably wouldn't do it. So it's better to suggest. Okay? So the title for the retreat was actually based on this book called Good Karma, How to Cure the Causes of Suffering and to Cure the Causes how to create the causes of happiness and avoid the causes of suffering. Okay, so it was, can you hear okay? So the book is based on a poem by Dharma Shita, who is an Indian sage. And he really points things out very clearly to us about if we're experiencing certain events in our life, what were the actions that we did, what was the karma that we created in previous times that brought about the specific event or experience that we're having now. And I found this text very, very helpful. It was introduced to me one time when I was very ill. And I had hepatitis A when I was using it. It comes from not washing fruits or vegetables very well. So it's very tempting to get angry at the cook or the kitchen helpers when you get this disease. But somebody gave me the poem to read. The poem is called The Really Sharp Weapons. And it made me realize that getting mad at the cook and the kitchen helpers was useless because the principal cause of my illness was fire. And I didn't like the result of this experience, and I better change my actions. So I thought in this session, just to practice without your verses. Really explains the kind of actions we did in the past. And it might give you some idea of either what you've experienced yourself or what you've seen happen to other people. Let's start with the verse that describes the illness, because that was the one that turned my life around. And in each of these verses, Dhamma Lakshita, after he states the experience that we're having, says it's the weapon of destructive karma returning on me. In other words, when we create destructive karma, we're putting certain destructive energy into the universe that acts as a boomerang. We put it out, it comes back, and it hits us in terms of what we experience. So, this one verse that we give me says, when my body prostrates from bearable illnesses, it is the weapon of destructive karma returning on me for injuring the bodies of others. From now on, I will take my sickness upon myself. So what this is saying is, why does our body fall prey to unbearable illnesses rather than the period there? And what was the karma, the actions that we created, the process, entering the body of others? So when I was sick, it made me think, well, maybe in a previous life, I beat somebody up, or beat a cemetery, or at least I was a soldier, somebody, or who knows what, and entering the body of others, whether it's people or animals, even in this life, I remember going to seafood restaurants and picking out the seafood I wanted, and this was before I became a Buddhist, and having a drop of hot water in the closet. Lobsters or whatever, excruciating pain. So falling ill is the result of having done those kind of actions. So if you don't want to fall ill, then it may just not to injure the bodies of others. And instead, think when you get sick, may I suffer and suffice for all the sickness of other living beings. There's another verse. But here it says, when my mind falls prey to suffering, so not my body, however, my mind, it is the wheel of destructive karma returning my body, for definitely causing turbulence in the lives of others. From now on, I will take my suffering upon myself. Okay, so what this means is sometimes our own minds are very unhappy. Nothing has really happened, but we're depressed, we're unhappy, we're greedy. Has that ever happened to you? So why does that happen? In the past, we've caused turbulence in the minds of others. So maybe we make fun of them, we lie to them, creating anxiety or fear in their own minds. Maybe we deceive them and betray their trust, creating turbulence in their mind. Keep your attention on here. Okay? So, when we're unhappy, this is the kind of fear. Do you see how easily your attention goes? I say, keep your attention up here, you hear a sound, immediately your attention goes. Not just hearing, but your eyes go too. We have to learn to keep our attention on what we're doing, not just for success in regular life, but also in our spiritual practice. Otherwise, you're going to miss half the talk because you're watching somebody raise the glass and lower the glass. Okay? Okay, so, when you're feeling unhappy at this rate, then consider the times that you may have caused unhappiness or turbulence in other people's minds. And think about why you did that. Were you jealous? Were you trying to get revenge? And then make a strong determination to avoid that kind of behavior in the future. Because you know that when you harm others, it's actually harming yourself. Here's the next verse. When I am tormented by extreme hunger and thirst, it is the rather destructive karma turning me on. For engaging in deception, theft, and miserly acts. From now on, I will take all hunger and thirst upon myself. Okay, so when we're tormented by extreme hunger and thirst, maybe in this life, having extreme hunger and thirst is going to happen yearly. But we see people in this world who suffer from hunger and thirst regularly. Very careful. So let's learn from the mistakes they made so that we don't create the same ones. And what are the misdeeds that they did? Engaging in deception, theft, and miserly acts. Okay? So all of this deception and theft, we cheated others in business, overcharging them, not paying them for a deal. We stole things that weren't ours, borrowed things and didn't return them. And we were also miser. So all this, all these kinds of actions cause us to suffer from extreme heart and no thirst. So to reverse that practice, we want to practice generosity. And we want to share food and resources with others. Okay, here's the better one. When I am powerless and suffer servitude to others, this is the weapon of destructive karma turning upon me. For being hostile to the weak, subjugating them. From now on, I will lower my body and life in the service of others. Okay, so what's the situation we're suffering from? We're powerless. We are maybe enslaved by others, or enslaved by death. In other words, in our life, we have freedom to do what we want, other people control our life. So what we've done in the past creates cause for this. It's being hostile to people who are weak. So maybe people who are in a lower social class, who have less education, who are poor, we've made fun of them, we've ridiculed them, we've deprecated and demeaned them, and treated them really awfully, simply because they're poor or lower social class. And we've subjugated them. How do we make them vote for us unfairly? Sometimes, for example, domestic workers coming from other countries, they're almost treated like slaves in Southeast Asia. They're paid less than minimum hourly requirement. They can't get a this was really very practical advice. And in saying this, Dhamma Rashita, the author of the poem, points out some of our faults. But again, it's very good that he points out our faults to us, because only by recognizing them can we counteract them. If nobody pointed this out, we may continue looking down on people who are less educated or less wealthy, and really treat people rather awfully. But once Dharma Rashita wants this kind of thing out to us, then we really need to change our behavior, because we see that treating other people poorly, treating them as inferior, humiliating them, and so forth, it only comes back to haunt us, and we wind up in similar situations of being powerless, with others controlling our lives. Here's another one. When I am separated from helpful and loving friends, it is the weapon of destructive karma turning around me, reverting away others' companions. From now on, I will never estrange others from their companions. Okay, so the situation is that we're separated from helpful and loving friends and relatives. Does that happen to you? Yeah, maybe due to business concerns, you have to live apart from your family and friends. Maybe different, you know, politics or all sorts of things that you separate you from helpful and beloved people. Maybe your relationships don't work out well, you've been friends with somebody for a while, and then seemingly without any cause, that person turns against you. Maybe you're married, and you think you have a happy marriage, but then your partner wants a divorce, or maybe you want a divorce. So these kind of situations where you're separated from helpful and loving friends and relatives. So what was it? What was the kind of karma that we created in previous times that brings on this experience? We lured away others' companions. So we estranged people from their companions. So maybe in a marriage situation, you were attracted to somebody who's already married. You lured that person away from their marriage. So they got a divorce and marry you. Or maybe in business, there somebody who's very talented was working for your competitor, and you lured that person away, making all sorts of false promises and more money and more status, so that that person would quit their job and come work for your company. Or maybe you were just jealous of some friends being close, and so you stepped in and spread bad things about them to make them fight. So this kind of thing, leads to us being separated from helpful and loving friends. So seeing this, then what we want to do in the future is never make others estranged from their family and their friends and the people who help them. In other words, to respect other people's relationships and encourage people to be harmonious with people that they're close to. Are these verses pushing some buttons? Do you recognize yourself in some of these verses? Either having done the destructive action, or maybe having experienced the unpleasant result. So seeing these things again is very good, because then we learn specifically how we need to change. When sublime thoughts become displeased with me, it is the leavener's destructive karma turning them up. For renouncing the sublime thoughts and seeking bad commandments, from now on I will give up any offenses. So here when it's talking about the sublime thoughts, it's talking about virtuous traits. It's talking about our spiritual mentor. Very good daughter, friends who practice virtue. So when those people are displeased with us, instead of getting mad at them and saying, why are you unhappy with me? Why are you pointing out my faults? But maybe some of you right now are getting mad at me because I'm reading these verses. Okay, pointing out your faults. Why are you saying that? You're so mean. And so when the sublime ones, Dhamma friends and spiritual teachers, are displeased with us, it's because we renounce them, we criticize them, we get angry at them. Dhamma starts touching all of our sensitive points. We go, I'm done with Dhamma, you know, finished. I don't want to bring this session anymore because all I hear is about my faults. And I'm tired of hearing about my faults. So I'm not going to the center anymore. I'm going to go to the pub instead. I used to go to the pub with all my friends. I had such a good time at the pub. I watched movies, violent movies, sexual movies. I'm going to go do that again. Okay? So doing that is exactly the kind of thing that causes our spiritual mentors and our virtuous friends to be displeased with us. Okay? So, if we don't want wise beings and virtuous friends to be displeased, if we want them to have compassion for us, if we want their friendship, because we see that they're role models for us, then instead of our renouncing them and seeking bad commandments, we go off to the synagogue, off to the pub, and who knows where, off to the disco. We will, it says here, I will give up on any oppressors. So when we're friends with people who do lots of negative actions, if you become good friends with somebody who gambles, what are you going to start doing? You're going to start gambling. If you become friends with somebody who gets drunk a lot, you're going to start drinking more. If you become friends with somebody who does under-the-table business deals, you're going to start doing dirty business. So doing that, what does that lead to? Yeah, virtuous friends, wise people, being unhappy with us. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Because we're acting unwise and unkindly, so of course they're going to be unhappy with us. And even if they try to help us and give us good advice, we'll probably get mad at them again. This just creates more problems for us. So here, it's saying that when this kind of situation happens, we're going to give up those negative friendships, and instead we're going to make good friends. People who have good ethical conduct, people who are generous, who are kind, people who treat others fairly and don't deceive them, either in their personal life or in their business. Okay. When my material resources to the situation is when our material resources waste away. So maybe our possessions are destroyed in a fire, destroyed in a flood, they're stolen. Maybe the stock market goes down, or you have property that you want to sell, but the economy goes down, so your property has set the price you want. In other words, you know, your material resources, which you thought were like this, are now going like this, through no fault of your own, but you just do to the world economy, or you trusted the money to investors who misused it, or something like that. So why does this kind of thing happen to us? It's because we disrespected others' resources. So we, maybe other people gave us money, but we figured it away. Maybe our parents or grandparents left us money. But without treating it properly, we just wasted it. Okay? Or maybe somebody entrusted us to watch over the home while we were gone, but we slacked off and we didn't do it properly. And because we didn't clean it enough, things got dirty and old and spoiled. Or maybe because we were careless, we didn't lock the doors, but somebody broke into our friend's house and stole their things. This happened one time when I was gone. I asked somebody to stay in my flat while I was gone, leaving the retreat. And this person forgot to lock the door one time. And as a result, somebody came in the flat and stole my computer. So a very good example, yeah. So, you know, he was disrespectful towards others' possessions, their my possessions, okay? So he did this kind of action. But why was my computer stolen? Because in previous times, I was disrespectful towards somebody else's possessions. Yeah. And wasted away, didn't treat them properly, care for them properly. And so the remedy is, from now on, to help others find what they need. So instead of taking or abusing others' resources, now we go out of our way to try and help them get what they need. So if people come and want to borrow something from you, help them get what they need. If somebody asks you for suggestions on how to do something, help them out and give them the suggestions. Okay? So in other words, we have to overcome our self-centeredness and reach out and help other people get the things that they need to stay alive and also to prosper. Okay. This does not mean spoiling your children and giving them things they don't need. Okay. That's not in the meaning in here. The meaning is for people who really need things to help them get what they need. When my mind becomes unclear and my heart unhappy, it is the weapon of destructive karma turning upon me for making others feel that I am unhappy. From now on, I will shine enabling others' destructive actions. So here's another situation. Our mind is unclear. Yeah, we sit down to study, we can't think clearly. We even, you know, whether it's in Dharma or in daily life, you know, we sit down to try and do something that requires some concentration and some wisdom and intelligence, and our mind can't think clearly. You have that happen to you? Okay. So our mind is unclear and our heart is unhappy. Yeah, we're moping around the house, we feel unhappy, were discontent, dissatisfied. Nothing's really happened, but we're just like miserable, and we complain all the time. So what kind of action did we do to create the cause for this? We made others accumulate and we recover. Now, how do we make others accumulate negative karma? One way is we ask them to tell the white lies for us. Now, do you ever ask your family members to tell white lies for you so that you don't have to do suffering? Scold your family members after they make an offering or after they make a donation to a charity and say, why did you offer so much? Now we can't go on vacation. Now we can't go out to dinner. Did you ever scold them for doing virtuous actions? Encourage your family members to take things from their workplace home for the family so that you didn't have to pay for them? Okay. Or did you ever, somebody loan you their credit card to use for a specific reason? But you used it for more reasons, or you encouraged somebody else to use it for more reasons. So we may encourage people to lie or steal, or encourage somebody, somebody wants to have an affair outside of their marriage, and instead of saying, look, you're going to divide your family and create so much happiness, you say, yeah, over, yeah, of course, it's really good looking. And you encourage them to have an affair. You help them cover up their affair by lying to their family. There's lots of ways we can encourage others to do negative actions. You tell your family to go out and get the seafood, drop it in the water, and bring it home. You encourage them to spray for guys. Oh, we do lots of things. We encourage them to tell other people off. Okay? So what does this kind of action on our part bring? It brings our mind being unclear and our heart unhappy. So in all these verses, can you see the relationship between the result that we experience and the kind of action that we do, the karmic action that we do to cause it? You can see some sort of thing here. Okay, when we encourage others to accumulate negative karma, we're making ourselves unwise, we're making ourselves unhappy, because we're leading them to be unwise and unhappy. Okay, so what do we do now instead? It says, I will shun enabling others' destructive actions. So now, instead of being somebody who encourages others to do negative actions, we will stop enabling them to do that. And instead, we will, for ourselves, not take part in those actions. And with a kind, compassionate motivation, we will warn others about doing those negative actions. But when we warn others about doing non-virtue, we have to wait for the right situation, the right time. So if people are fishing and you just go up to them and say, you shouldn't fish because you're going to go to hell, instead of saying to the person, you do this, and that's a negative action, and you shouldn't do it, it's much more skillful to talk about the action in an abstract way, or talk about another person who does that action, and the bad consequences they do. Because most people don't like to be told their faults directly. So it's, you know, if you want them to listen to you, it's more skillful to talk in a broader way instead of pointing the finger directly at them. Okay, so that's just some examples from this book. And I recommend you to read it. Unfortunately, we don't have any more copies of it here for you, but I mean, you can order it online or from bookstores or whatever. But I know that the poem, and I wrote a commentary on the poem, but this poem really changed my life, because before that, I had always thought, oh, I should practice ethical conduct. I should do this, I shouldn't do that. So there were a lot of shoulds. But after I read this book, this poem, and really thought about the situations deeply, it changed my mind. And instead of I should and I shouldn't, it's like I want to keep good ethical conduct. I want to avoid non-virtue. I want to accumulate virtue. So there's, in my mind, there's a big difference telling myself what I should do versus what I want to do. Should is kind of like pushing myself. But when I see something through my own wisdom, then I want to do it because I know it's going to bring a good result. So, okay, so maybe we have time for a couple of questions before we close. Any questions? This is your chance. Especially at the conclusion of a course or a retreat like this, where we really put our minds into creating a lot of merit, we really learn a lot, then it's really time to rejoice and to feel very happy about what we've done and really look around to everybody in the room and rejoice at the virtue everybody here has done. You've also learned how to do a purification practice. So now you can go ahead and do that same purification practice for the 4 hours on your own. You can continue to read and learn about karma, your teachings in karma, and then do the analytic meditations, so that you understand how karma functions more and more. And so in that way, you kind of you create a little bit of virtue, and that propels you to create more virtue in the future, so you can really rejoice. So let's take a minute to have just a short time to reflect on what we've heard and to rejoice in our merit. Very short meditation time. And after that, then we will dedicate the merit. good with this matter.